I got tracks in every pocket. How many people do that? Am I the only one? Good, you should. All right. I keep them in the car too, so that's always a good thing. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to get back on our subject here of prayer. And you can be turning in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 14. And it's good to have our visitors that we have, and glad to have all of them. And I think the young lady was, I think she said from Tennessee and from the fair booth. So our outreach programs do work, guys. And, you know, we're just following the Lord in that. So let's do that. So we're going to start out in 1 Samuel chapter 14. But, you know, I wanted to say this first to you. I wanted to ask you a question. Where is a chicken's favorite vacation spot? Nobody? How about New York City? I'm learning. Okay. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 14, and what we're going to look at this week is, why doesn't God always answer our prayers? And we're going to start out in 1 Samuel chapter 14. We're going to read verses 37 and 38. Verse 37, 1 Samuel 14 says, "And Saul asked counsel of God, 'Shall I go down after the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into the hand of Israel?' But he answered him not that day. And Saul said, 'Draw ye near hither, all the chiefs of the people, and know and see wherein this sin hath been this day.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for this opportunity to just study this subject, Lord. And Lord, get me out of the way. Lord, I don't want any of this glory. You deserve all the glory, Lord. So, Lord, just help me not to say nothing that you don't want me to say. Lord, I know this lesson has been a blessing to me, and it's helped me, and I hope it helps your people too. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I want to ask you, run something by you here. How many of you have ever used a paint can? Okay, several of us, okay? You know, the paint can has a label on it. And it says, "Clean surface thoroughly. Remove dirt, grease, wax, and oil. Scrape off any loose paint. Patch and prime large cracks. Do not apply if temperature is below 50 degrees Fahrenheit." Now, I want to ask you a question. What would happen if you violated the instructions so clearly stated on a can of paint? What would happen? It's going to be a big mess, isn't it? I mean, any painter, any amateur or professional who hasn't at one time or another violated this instructions knows perfectly well what will happen. So it is with prayer, folks. No different. And what we're going to look at is, why is it that God doesn't always answer our prayer the way we'd like him to? Point number one. God does not answer our prayers when we willingly violate his directive, will, and commandments. I want you to go to 1 John. 1 John, way back in the back of the Bible. 1 John, we're going to look at 1 John 3, excuse me, and verse 22. 1 John 3, verse 22. Why does it God answer our prayer when we willingly violate his directive, will, and commandments? Verse number 22 of 1 John chapter 3 says, and whatsoever you ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Okay? It says, so our sin keeps God from answering our prayer. And the answer to that very question is what we just read. It says, we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing to him. Okay? So, how about another one? Go to Psalms chapter 66. Psalms chapter 66. We're going to read verse 18 of Psalms 66. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, iniquity, according to Webster's 1828 dictionary, is unrighteousness, injustice, sin, crime, and wickedness. So if we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord ain't going to hear us. It's what his word says. I'm not saying this, folks. It's what his word says. All right, now look at another one. Look in John chapter 9. John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 31. John 9:31 says, now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he heareth him. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace. You know, and this verse says, now we know that God heareth not sinners. So when I sin, is, you know, this verse is telling me that, but if any man be a worshiper of God, I'm a worshiper of God, and doeth his will, he heareth him. So when I sin, what do I need to do? I need to claim 1 John 1:9 and go to it and ask the Lord to forgive me. And then that opens up the door again. And guys, we all do this. If you say you're not a sinner, you're wrong. The Bible tells us we're all sinners. So when we mess up, and believe me, I'm the chief of that, messing up, we have to go to 1 John 1:9 and do what the Bible says. Okay? So that was point number one. Point number one was God does not answer our prayers when we willingly violate his directive will and commandments. Point number two, God does not answer our prayers when our requests contradict his intended means of chastisement in our lives. Now, who's a classic example of that? David. What did David do? In the case of David, God could have spared that child's life. What did David do? If you go to 2 Samuel chapter 12, I can read it for you. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16 says, David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and laid all night on the earth. Folks, God had a chastisement to do to David here. David sinned. He sinned against the Lord. And we all know what happens with Bathsheba and the child didn't live. God took him. Okay. I'm going to back up to my note here, but he determined that it would be more beneficial, this is God, for David if the chastisement was complete. Now, guys, we don't know the mind of God. We can't understand his mind. But God's will is always the best for his children. Always, without a doubt, God's will is best for you. If you're born again, if you're a child of God, if you've accepted Jesus in here, in your heart, you're a child of his. and he always knows what's best for us. So he knew what was best for David. He knew that chastisement had to come. So point number two, God does not answer our prayer when our requests contradict his intended means of chastisement in our lives. Point number three, God does not answer our prayer when one prays to the wrong God. Let's go to the Mars Hill account, Acts 17. Acts chapter 17. And most of you know this, all about this account here. Acts 17, we're going to start out in verse 22. Acts 17, verse 22. It says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that had made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made by hands, with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitations. Verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of you, of your own poets, have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by the art of man's device. And in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Verse 31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. So, in verse 22, Paul tells them, you're too superstitious. In verse 23, it says, to the unknown God. And then in verse 24, I got to say this. Our God is not unknown. Amen. He is not. Verse 24, it says, God that had made the worlds and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth. Verse 25, neither is worship with men's hand, as though he needeth anything, seeing he had giveth to all life and breath and all things. 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men. 27, that they should seek the Lord and find him, though he be not afar from every one of us. 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, for we are also his offsprings. Verse 29, we are the offspring of God. We ought not to live to think that the Godhead is like gold, silver, or stone, or graven by art of man's devices. This is who our God is. He furnishes us with life. That's what it said there. Breath and life and all things. That's who our God is. They were serving an unknown God, and that was wrong. So that point was, God does not answer prayer when one prays to the wrong God. Point number four, God does not always answer prayer immediately. Now, in the case of Nehemiah, We probably all know what that was. It was in chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and chapter 2, 1 through 6. Nehemiah was praying for Jerusalem. Jerusalem was in ruins. The gates were burnt down. And he prayed for 4 months. And then all of a sudden, the king sees the discounting in his face one day, and he says, "What's wrong?" And Nehemiah tells him, and God answers that prayer. It's 4 months later. So God doesn't always answer our prayer immediately. Our timing isn't his always. He teaches us now. That was another thing. When we're praying about something and you think, "Well, is God listening?" You know, what is happening when God doesn't answer it? Let's say it's a loved one you've been praying for years, months, whatever it is. You've been praying for that one. What are you doing in this time? You're doing exactly what he wants you to do. You're drawing closer to him. That's why he uses that. He uses it for patience, which I don't have a whole lot of, and my wife can attest to that. But he uses it for faith also. So God's timing isn't our timing at all. He teaches us faith and patience in such circumstances where we must wait on him. His time's not nearly important to God as it is to us. So God delays are well thought out. Because when God delays an answered prayer, you're seeking God's face as much as you can, you're on your knees before God, that's exactly where he wants you. Okay, so point number 4, God does not always answer prayer immediately. Point number 5, God does not answer our prayers when we have an improper interpersonal relationship. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3, 7. Now, this is the relationship between a husband and a wife. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Our wives, this where it says that she's a weaker vessel, that's talking physically, not spiritually. Physically. Physically, the wife, the woman, is not as strong as the man. Okay? So here it says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life. Heirs, that means you're going to get it. Heirs of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Okay, now let's look at another account of that. Mark 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. We're going to read. Excuse me. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26 says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." So that's, you know, we don't need to hold on to personal grudges. Look in James. James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 9. It says, "Grudge not one another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." Now, this is talking about our brethren. We're to grudge not one against another. So if you got a grudge against a brother, ladies, it'd be a sister. You need to take care of that. Okay? So we're holding personal grudges. God's not going to hear you. Point number six, God does not answer our prayer when it is used strictly for selfish reasons. Right. Now, in James chapter 4, we're there. We was there in 5:9. James chapter 4 and verse 3 says, ye ask and receive not because you asked amiss. What does that mean, amiss? Right. Selfish purposes. It says, ye ask and receive not because you asked amiss in a wrong way or for selfish reasons that you may be consumed in your lust. Okay? So, we're not to let selfish purposes get in our way. So, God does not answer prayer when we use it strictly for selfish reasons. Point number seven. God does not answer prayer when he chooses not to. Sometimes the answer from God is no. Now, that's not always easy to take, but that's his answer sometimes. Classic example, you all know it, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is Paul. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might be departed from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproach, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sakes. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. You know, up in verse 7, Paul asked twice. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure. I'm sorry, he didn't ask twice. He told us the answer twice. Lest I should be exalted above measure, get puffed up. You know, am I the only one here that tends to have that problem? Okay. I thought I did. You know, I think we all do. And we're going to look at the very next, well, one of the things next we're going to look at is, let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Now, guys, if you don't hear nothing else that I said this morning, hear this. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Remember, sometimes God says no to our prayers. Matthew 26, verse 39. You all know this. This is Jesus. He said, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Verse 42. And he went again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Verse 44, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Praise God that he told his own son, Jesus Christ, he told him no. Jesus was a man, and he was God in the flesh, but he was fully man. He was fully God. You know that. Amen. Jesus had a burden. He asked God to take this cup from me, Lord. What would have happened to us? Where would we be if he'd have took that cup from him? We'd be in sad shape, guys. We all know that. Thank God that he told Jesus no. And Yeah, I don't want to get into that. So, God always knows best. When he tells us no, he knows best. Then I'm going to close with this. In Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. We're going to look at verses 10 through 14. Luke chapter 18, verses 10 says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not like other men, exhorters, unjust, adulterers, or even this guy standing beside me, the publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now we're going to look at what the publican said. He said, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what we are, folks. He's sitting there beating on his chest, Lord, be merciful to me. The Pharisee thought God operated on a merit system and thus could be put in a man's debt through good works. That sound familiar to you? Through good works. But you know something? The publican knew God was merciful and was worthy of trust. We have to have a humble, submissive spirit unto God if we want him to answer our prayers. Guys, there is things that you can do, even as a Christian. God won't hear you. And when he don't hear you, you need to just bow yourself before him and see where that sin is in your life. You know, back where we started from in 1 Samuel, you know, Saul, he seeked God that very same day for an answer to if they could defeat the Philistines. God didn't answer him that day. And he even went on in that next verse and was trying to blame somebody else for the sin in the camp when all the time it was in Saul. So I know you all heard the expression, you point your finger at somebody and how many comes back to you? You know, so yeah. I'm a sinner. You know, we're all sinners and we have to submit ourselves to God. We have to do it the right way. We need to go before him and ask him forgiveness, get right with him, and move on. Okay, I hope this has been a blessing to you. It has been to me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for your word. Lord, we just want to give you all the glory in all of this. I pray you be with Brother John as he brings a message today. Lord, fill him with your spirit. Open our hearts to hear what he has to say. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.